A white man? No!
I'm Sarah.
And I'm Emily.
And we're back with another Criminal Minds recap.
Yes.
What a journey we're about to take together. You know, it really just makes me realize how little an understanding of any geography I have, especially the Midwest.
Oh, yeah.
It all seems really big and spread out. And then we have these Midwest episodes where they're everywhere, seemingly.
Yeah.
I just don't get it. Yeah. Maybe I do get it, and that's why I'm confused.
Yeah, no, that's what Montana's like.
Yeah.
Like, you're, like, driving from one city to the next city, and you're driving for 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
it's crazy how, like, empty
the
states up there. They're beautiful, but there's, like, nobody there. There's nothing there.
Except gas stations, apparently.
A lot of gas stations. Well, you got to stop so many times to get from city to city.
We are talking about The 13th Step.
Yes.
Which originally aired January 26th, 2011. And we get right to it.
Yeah. So this one opens with a couple in a convenience store discussing whether or not they should get married. The man seems really into it, but the woman, who is played by Tyra from Friday Night Lights, is pretty ambivalent about it at first.
And you know what? Their postures right from the opening moment that they exit those vehicles convey unhinged, right? I mean, like...
Yeah, they look rough.
Yeah, they do not seem like two average folks going into this gas station. You can tell something is amiss.
Yeah. Like, if you were in that gas station, you would go to the next aisle over.
Yeah.
You're like, I didn't actually want those Pringles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the clerk just, like, loudly starts talking about how terrible marriage is. He's like, don't do it. Don't get married. And then they both pull out guns and they just shoot everything up.
It's a lot of shooting. I mean, sure, he seems offensive. Really not the best conversation you want to have with
a
stranger.
He's rude.
But this is overkill.
It's a bit much. Very natural-born killers.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
So at the BAU, Princess is tired because she went salsa dancing the last night. And Garcia's like, could you be any cooler? I didn't know that was that cool, but okay.
All right. I guess I'm not cool either because I didn't know that was so cool.
Yeah. But she does give her a message about a Scottish guy who called her from Paris. And I don't understand why Garcia is taking these messages.
I don't either.
I know she's, like, the media liaison, but she is not the receptionist.
Yeah.
Doesn't it seem like there would be someone else responsible for that? Or, like, Prentice would have her own direct line that they would be calling with a voicemail?
Yeah.
I don't know how that works, but...
I don't know. Yep.
Prentice says that he's just a friend, and she's like, all Scottish men are hot, even if they're ugly, because of their accents. I'm like, really? I just think of Mike Myers playing a character when I think of Scottish accents.
See, most people would think of Outlander.
Oh, no, I've never seen that. So I just think of the
very sexy.
I just think of the dad from So I Married an Axe Murderer.
not very
It's not
enticing.
Sexy.
No.
It is not.
No, not at all.
And this was before Outlander, so that would not have
That's been. True. But I mean, on your rewatch, you wouldn't think, ah, yes. Sexy like Outlander. You're like, what? Like Shrek?
Outlander is not up my alley. We learned that 6 people died in the incident at the gas station in Montana, and there were no witnesses or any security footage, and they believe that there are 2 shooters due to the ballistics. I do not understand why they would assume 2 shooters instead of one person using 2 guns automatically. I don't know what would be a more reasonable...
I'm not a ballistics expert. I don't know. I don't understand how any of that works.
I don't either.
But could you tell 2 shooters? I have no idea.
I don't know. Blood spatter analysis, which is a real scientific thing.
Right?
I don't know. I wasn't clear on why they automatically assumed 2. I mean, probably just because it would also be really hard to shoot.
that many people quickly.
I don't know. You're in a small enclosed space.
I don't know. I guess like the angle that the bullets went, like if people were two different heights.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Who knows?
Someone let us know.
Yeah. But they also say that they're likely to repeat themselves because spree killers do that, apparently. And everyone in this show is a spree killer.
Yes.
The spree starts when the episode starts. Then we get our quote. Nietzsche wrote, "What really raises one's indignation against suffering is not suffering intrinsically, but the senselessness of suffering." And that is why I don't enjoy reading Nietzsche.
That's why philosophy is insufferable.
Yes.
So wait a second. Can it be a spree if it's the first incident we know of? A spree of. I mean, I know multiple people were killed, but doesn't spree give more than?
I thought
spree
was more than one location.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. Their definitions are nonsense.
Yeah, I know. That just occurred to me. Right after you started reading the quote, which I zoned out on because, again, Nietzsche's nonsense.
Because it's word salad.
Yes. Yeah. But, yeah, how can you be – it's like being a serial killer when you've only killed one person.
Yeah. Do you know they downgraded the definition of serial killer and you only have to kill two people to be a serial killer now?
What? I would say it has to be at least three.
That's weird.
Look – as a kindergarten teacher, I can tell you two is not a pattern.
Two is not a pattern. But yeah, it seems like it would be like a mass shooting, not a spree.
Right.
Because it's just the one.
It's just the one place.
Anyway. Doesn't matter because now it's a spree because right. The couple goes to another gas station. And this time they're in their wedding outfits.
Yes. And she's wearing the ring pop he stole from the previous gas station as her wedding ring.
Yeah. And we learn that their names are Ray and Sydney, and then they blow the whole thing up, which just at the gas pump, I think, because they go into the gas station later.
Yeah.
So I think they're just blowing up the gas pump.
Yeah.
Sure. And it's a very self-contained fire. It does not spread.
It does not.
No. The explosion does not touch anything except for that one.
Yeah. Well, it's a very, thoughtfully chosen location for an explosion. And they're definitely supposed to be giving off like drug addled and drunk, or like it's not just crazy. There's obviously substances in effect here
as
well.
Yes, they are very, very, very out of it.
It is over the top for like all things in Criminal Minds usually. They are really, these two are swinging for the fences.
It's like how if somebody was like, act like you are on hard drugs. It's how I, a person who has never done hard drugs, would act.
Right. It's like watching a community theater production where two people are pretending to be drunk. Like, this is not convincing.
Yeah. Like two high schoolers who have had a sip of their dad's beer one time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So the local field agent tells them that eight people are dead and that the killers are a male-female team who are aroused by the adrenaline. To which Rossi says, "This is just foreplay," and it's gross. I don't want to hear like,
having Rossi
talking
say
about foreplay.
It's like listening to your dad say something like that. I'm like, ew, don't
like,
say
gross
that
joke. Please stop.
Please don't do that.
But it's about to get grosser because Ray and Sid are doing some kind of drugs. They're smoking some drugs. I don't know.
We
what
really
kind.
Should be trusted to do these recaps because we just don't have the knowledge.
I don't know what's going on. And they talk about their future plans to move to Aruba. And it's all in this weird echoey voiceover.
I guess is that how they're feeling now that he's
that's
smoked
what it
the
sounds
drugs?
Like after you smoke.
That's what everything sounds like once you've smoked the drugs.
I sound like Frances McDormand in Almost Famous. Oh so look at their eyes, they're on pot. But yeah, it's like they're
it's
like,
about to get very sexy.
Yeah, and they're like in the hotel room and she's just like keeps sucking the ring pop, and I'm like, that thing is so old.
It's so gross.
There's got to be so much dirt stuck to it.
Dirt and blood and sweat and
I could not,
dust from the air.
I could not get over the ring pop. It was so distracting because I was so disgusted. Yeah.
And she's like filming herself like licking the rim of the bottle and drinking the whiskey from the bottle. Like, who is seeing these videos?
Yeah, who is this for?
Yeah.
TikTok is not a thing.
Right.
Are you like, making vines? Because yours is way too long.
Yeah.
So Reed's there. His head is fine now. That we're done with that for now, I guess.
We're done with that. He's better.
And he and Prentice go to the morgue to look at the bodies. The attacks are like crazy over the top and like brutality. Like they were like shot. And then the one guy was like also sodomized.
Yeah. But that, I mean, and that also makes it seem like they're spending a lot of time there.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah.
And there was a witness.
Yeah. So, right. Somebody was alive there.
Yeah.
I don't understand any of that. Yeah. But okay.
But yeah, the gas station, the latest one where the attack took place, which was not affected at all by the massive explosion.
No.
Nothing is burned. Everything is fine. Glass is intact. Rossi, Morgan, and Hotch discovered that the victims were chained into the building, and they find rice all over the floor. But they don't sell rice at the gas station.
Whoa, weird.
Weird. Where could the rice have come from? So Garcia tells them that... there are 31 people with records who have applied for marriage licenses.
So you're telling me...
they had the wedding in the gas station.
You are expecting me as the viewer to believe that these two people went and filled out paperwork, stood in line at a courthouse, and filled out paperwork to go through legal channels for an actual marriage.
If this took place in Vegas...
sure.
And they went to a drive-through chapel? That I would believe. No, I don't believe these people went to the city courthouse to take care of this.
No. No, I believe they
had the wherewithal to go get rice.
Right. I believe they stole fancy outfits while they were high, and he put a ring pop on her finger, but I don't think they're really
going... Grey's Anatomy post-it wedding.
Right. They're not going through the actual legal channels to do this properly so that you can just Google them.
There's no way. There were also two other attacks on store clerks a bit outside the area, like one a bit outside the area of like Billings, Montana. I think that's where they are now. And one over in North Dakota. So they assume that they started in North Dakota and are just working their way over.
Working their way across.
So a man approaches Sydney, who's sitting in the car drinking, and just still sucking on that ring pop. And Ray is attending an AA meeting. Mm-hmm. He tells the group that he's a newlywed and an alcoholic. And Sydney flirts with the guy. And Ray tells everyone that he's been drinking since he was 8. He tells the group about being molested by his father. And Sydney, like, tells the guy he can, like, do whatever he wants for, like, $20 or something.
She
and I was like, no, you're worth, friend.
Have a taste.
Yeah.
For $20. And I was like,
you're like,
ooh,
of the ring pop? Right. No, thank you. Like, I can assume that you taste like Jack Daniels. So no, thank you.
Yeah, I really don't have to dive any deeper here. Yeah. So like, gross phrase. And yeah, and any human being is worth more than $20.
Yeah. But yeah, she pulls out her gun. Ray tells the group that he has gotten to step 7, and the group leader tells him that he needs to move on to step 8 and 9, and that until he moves past the incident, he'll always be a victim of the bottle. Mm. And he takes great offense to this and says it wasn't his fault that he was molested by his father. And you're like, that is not what this man is saying.
Yeah.
Even a little bit. Yeah. And then he starts shooting up the gun or the group, and then Sid attacks the guy and then comes in and she's shooting, and it's just just guns everywhere.
The shots of them
flying.
Shooting
it's
are
like,
hysterical.
They are. It's very like The Matrix.
Yeah,
like,
I was
like
circling
around them.
I was like chuckling a little, like, oh, these shots, and they're like
dolly back
circling.
To back.
Yeah. And then they go cheek to cheek and they're shooting with their they're holding a gun, but they're
where
cheek
are they
to
getting
cheek
the money for this ammunition?
Right?
That's not cheap.
And all of those weapons.
I mean, they've used
a different look. I don't know much about guns, but I can tell they're using a different style of
guns.
Yeah,
they have the little guns. Ray's got like the big shotgun because he like pumps the shotgun.
They've got little ones. They've got big ones. They've got medium sized ones. They're all different
all
colors.
The kinds.
And those are all the different kinds of guns that exist. Yeah. So, yeah, it was just when they went like, cheek to cheek, I was like, this is.
It was too much.
Too much.
Nobody ever is that close to anyone for any reason.
Yep.
So when they investigate this, situation. Mm-hmm. Rossi suspects that the couple may have met at a meeting. Mm-hmm. Reed says that they might be actually working on their sobriety, mm-hmm. And working on the hardest steps, 7 through 9, which are acknowledging shortcomings, accepting responsibility, and making amends. He also says that they broke the 13th step, which is that addicts are not supposed to be in relationships while working on their sobriety.
And he would
know. Which is not a step so much as a guideline. Right. That's not a step you take.
But I think, I mean, it's like the colloquially known. Reed would know because he was in NA, right?
Mm-hmm.
For a very brief moment with another completely abandoned storyline.
It's okay. It doesn't come up. recites it like it's from a book, not like from its like it's his personal experience.
But it is.
I know. So Sid tells Ray as they're driving away that they need to confront their fathers about what they did to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get a profile, which is just delivered in a parking lot.
Sure is. Yep. We are looking for a young couple from North Dakota, late teens to mid-20s. We believe they may have recently been married. We're seeing that alcohol plays a significant role in these crimes. It's allowing them to kill freely and recklessly. Our unsubs are killing surrogates. They represent those who are responsible for deep-seated wounds. These two most likely met at Alcoholics Anonymous. They offer each other support, and they get a sexual charge out of the killing. The switch from gas stations to AA meeting might mean one of them has a slight moral compass that led them to get help. Ultimately, we believe one of the pair is a sociopath, while the other is a psychopath. And the local lady's like, what is there really a difference between those two things? And you know, they have similar pathologies, but a sociopath is less likely to participate in criminal activity and be lured by a dominant, while a psychopath is a consummate leader and likely to engage and destroy anyone in their way. The most recent attack was 12 hours ago, which means they're most likely heading west of Helena towards Idaho. All surrounding areas should be on alert. And I think that's it. That's the end. That's all,
I think so.
That's all we get. But then at that point I was like, wow, there's only been 15 minutes of this episode. There are roughly 26 to 30 more minutes to go. What in the hell could still happen for 30 more minutes of story? We already know who they are. We know why they're doing what they're doing. We've gotten more of a look into the criminal mind than we usually do.
Yeah.
And they're heading west of Helena toward Idaho, 12 hours ahead of us, possibly. So what now? What now?
Yeah, and like usually we get the profile like
more than almost
4 minutes before they catch them.
Right. It's like, what are we going to do for 25 more minutes? Just watch them kill indiscriminately?
Yeah. Yes, that's exactly what we're going to do. Sid and Ray arrive at Ray's house, like his childhood home. Mm-hmm. They are in even rougher shape than they were prior.
Hard to believe, but they are.
Ray's father opens the door, but doesn't recognize him at first. It's clearly been quite some time since he's seen him, and also Ray probably looks like shit now.
Yeah.
So Ray pulls a gun on him and forces him back into the house. So Garcia finds that three people checked the AA group's website yesterday. Only one of them was from North Dakota, and his name is Ray Donovan.
And now we were...
Was that a TV show?
It was.
Okay. Yeah. I was thinking about it, and I was like, wait a minute.
Why does that name sound so familiar? Yeah. We were now 18 minutes in, and we know the unsub's name. So again... What in the hell are they going to do for the rest of this episode? The pacing is just, I don't know.
Wait, I just got distracted for a minute. When he says they're 12 hours ahead of them and they're likely headed west toward Idaho, if you left Billings and drove west for 12 hours, you would be in Seattle.
Well.
So by the time they catch up with them, they're going to be in the Pacific Ocean.
Well, where is Ray from? Where is Ray? Is Ray local? Ray's from North Dakota. They're still somewhere in North Dakota.
Yeah, but the last attack was in Billings, Montana.
Oh, okay.
So when he says they have a 12-hour head start, they would already be all the way to Seattle.
As far as they could go west without walking into the ocean.
You can't get much further.
Huh.
It's like, how long would it take to get to Idaho, actually? Like 12 hours is a really long time.
Right? I know.
I was just thinking about that. I'm like, if I left here in 12 hours, I would be in Nebraska.
Yeah. So,
anyway. Ray was in a foster home. Garcia gives them the address of his last foster home. And they're like, great, we'll go find them. And like, he would have aged out of that, out of foster care 9 years ago.
Yeah,
what
why would
do
you?
They think they're going to get?
I know. I don't know why they would go there.
Like talking to this foster family.
They're killing time. Do you know how much of this episode is left? They've got to go to a few extraneous locations. If they were as succinct about this as they have been about everything else in this episode, it would be over in 22 minutes.
So, and also they say, like, we have the address, not the phone number of the people who currently live there. Which I think is they talk to them on the phone. They must.
Yeah.
But it's like, what was your plan? To drive to North Dakota and find these people? Like, okay, fine. Anyway, Prentice must have talked to him on the phone. She says that his foster family said that he was removed from his home due to abuse and drug use. So, like his parents, not his own drug use. Right. So back at Ray's house, he just is really staring creepily at his parents who are like, what's going on, man?
Haven't seen you in a while.
Ray tells him to take the ninth step and like to make amends to him or whatever. And Ray's parents are both really insistent that he was never
molested.
Touched
yeah.
at all. And I don't know who to believe in this situation.
Yeah.
I really don't.
I feel like the insinuation is supposed to be that Sydney influenced him to believe.
To believe that,
that he
was?
Had been because she had been.
Yeah. That's I wasn't understanding that because it really seemed like they were being genuine.
It did. They did seem very genuine. And it seemed like they had both like cleaned their lives up.
Yeah, like it seemed like he probably had a rough childhood, but perhaps not that rough.
Yeah.
Like there were other things going on, but like they seemed to be like have their acts together now. So Ray's mom just is like begging and pleading for them to let him go. Ray is like playing Russian roulette. Like he keeps yelling at his dad to like take the ninth step and then shooting, but it's blanks. His dad keeps denying it. And then finally Sid is like, I'm done with this bullshit and just shoots him.
Yeah.
She tells Ray that she knew that he would never actually go through with it. And Ray is mad.
He is understandably upset by this.
Yeah, which makes me wonder, it's like, did she know that he was never going to admit it because it never happened?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
She didn't want to give them time to help him realize that that wasn't true.
I don't know. It was weird.
It was. And then they just leave the mother alive and they just leave. Which doesn't seem like their MO at all.
I don't understand why they've killed everyone they've come in contact with so far in this entire episode.
Yeah.
So why would they
leave her alive? I don't know.
So in the car, like Ray finally like stops the car because they're like yelling at each other. He gets out of the car. Sid apologizes to him and she's like, hit me. You'll feel better. So he like grabs her by the throat and like slams her up against a tree. He tells her that when he says he'll handle something, he will. And then they start making out again because these people are the worst.
Yep.
Like I'm really grossed out by watching this. So while Ray has not found a marriage certificate application from Ray, she did find one from a Sydney Manning who was sentenced to mandatory rehab after a hit and run. She was under the influence of alcohol and heroin, which happens to be the same combo that killed Ray's ex-girlfriend, Amy. Alcohol and heroin doesn't seem like an uncommon...
It does not.
...combination, but they're like, that's clearly Sydney, like, must have killed her. I'm like, what?
Just so she could have Ray.
It's
obviously,
I mean,
it couldn't be that there were two addicts, Emily,
who both used alcohol and heroin. I've seen enough Behind the Music to know that that is a very common combination.
That's what everyone does, I thought. I don't know.
That's how you wash down the heroin.
Yeah.
Which I assume you take in pill form. But yeah, it's like, okay, sure, fine. She must have killed Amy to get to Ray. That's the only thing that makes sense here. Fine.
They're starting to do all their assumption making.
Yeah. So they also assume that they're probably on their way to kill Sydney's father now. She grew up in Spokane, Washington, which I think is a much more reasonable assumption for them to make.
Yes.
Everybody heads to Spokane except for Reed. They're like, all right, we're going to go. You stay here. They just leave him behind. They're like, in case he doubles back. I'm like, but he's not going to. So did Matthew Gray Coogler just have something else he needed to do the rest of this filming?
He must have had a headache or something. I don't know.
It's so weird.
Yeah, they're just
Like, well, we don't need you for the rest of this episode. Get out of here. So Sid and Ray arrive at a gas station. They make another really weird video when they're like walking in. It's like lots of like selfie shots and they're like looking around the gas station and everything. And it turns out that it's her dad.
Yeah.
Working at the gas station. Which explains why they've been killing gas station clerks and shooting up gas stations this whole time. They're like making this weird video. Like Ray's like on the other side of like one of the like display shelves.
It's all very strange.
She like is threatening him with a gun and then keeps asking him to touch her. And he's like, what are you talking about? And he does not seem genuine.
He does not seem genuine at all. No.
Nobody's buying that.
And he has a weird accent. I was like, aren't they in Washington State?
Everybody is talking like they're from like Tennessee.
Yeah, it's all very strange.
I noticed the accents as well. Like they all...
Is this just them? I mean, I assumed for Sid and Ray, it was like they were just doing a bad job at pretending to be drunk, so they sounded weird.
Maybe.
But the dad, I was like, what is happening here?
Yeah.
They just told us we're in Spokane.
Yeah, and I know it's not a real, like, at least on Sid's part, it's not a real accent because she's from Ohio. Yeah.
And you know what? It was
Northern Ohio.
It was driving me crazy this whole episode. Because I know she's in Friday Night Lights, but I was like, something else about her is so familiar. And I realized that she sounds and looks like the discount version of Mandy Moore.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like just messing with my mind the entire time, especially at this end part where she's like.
It's like if you want a Mandy Moore that's not likable.
Yes. Yeah.
But yeah, so she... she's like, but you used to like it. And she's like pulling her skirt up and Ray's bad. Like, okay, Sid, like tone it down.
Yeah.
Put your skirt down.
Yeah.
And then he tells her that she's out of control and she pistol whips him and he apologizes for hurting her and says that he's changed. He's found God. He's cleaned up his act. And she gives this whole speech where like, where was God when you were hurting me? And like, God doesn't exist here and all this stuff. And like, it's sad.
It is sad.
You feel bad for her.
I don't feel bad for this dad at all. Like, yeah, just go ahead and beat him up a lot.
Yeah.
Like, there's no reforming coming back from that as far as I'm concerned.
And then Ray jumps over the counter and they're both just beating the shit out of him. And you know who I do feel bad for is this little girl who comes out of nowhere in the gas station and asks what they're doing to her dad.
Yeah.
And you're like, there's a child here now.
Yeah, like, oh no. But here's the thing. If you were that kid, was it just that I was a really timid and scared kid? Because if I overheard what was happening, I would not go out there and be like, excuse me, what is going on here?
Oh, no, I'd be like hiding under a table somewhere.
Right.
I would just...
Or like trying to sneak out the back. Like I would not be going out there to get myself in the middle of
this. I don't
even
think I would be bold enough to sneak out.
No, I would just
find
hide.
A very small place for me to like wedge myself and I would have just stayed
freeze.
There
yeah.
until I died.
Yeah.
Yes. So Morgan and Prentice go and talk to Mr. Manning's new wife who says that he's at work at the gas station that he owns. And they're both like... Oh no. Ray takes him to the back and shoots him while Sid tells the little girl that dads don't do this to her daughters. And the girl's like, do what?
Yeah.
She's like, he won't hurt you anymore. And she's like, he never hurt me. I just want my dad. Like, so it seems like maybe he has done a better job.
Yes.
This time. Not that for like, I'm not going to be like, he's all better now.
Yeah. No.
Clearly.
But it's a different relationship with the new daughter, apparently.
But Sid, like, cannot accept that.
Yeah.
But, and again, the girl seems genuinely confused by why they would be making these kinds of accusations. So Morgan and Prentice arrive just as they're starting to leave the gas station. And I don't know. I don't think you can see the little girl in the shot. So
I assume they were leaving her behind, right? They were
because she's like, come, like he won't be able to hurt you anymore. And they're like taking her with them.
Oh, okay.
But I don't think you can see her because everybody just starts fucking shooting.
Yeah.
You're like, there's a little kid. Yeah. And I have to assume that Morgan and Prentice
don't see her.
Did not see her because I don't think that they would have just started shooting like crazy.
I hope not.
It's insane how many bullets are happening right now.
Yeah.
And Sydney gets hit like in the shoulder, I think. And Ray brings her back into the gas station. And all the windows are just still intact.
Yep.
Despite all of the shooting.
All the bullets.
Yes. They're all bulletproof windows. Ray comforts her and she asks for whiskey. The little girl says that there's no alcohol in the store and her dad doesn't drink because it's against the Bible. Sid doesn't believe her.
Yeah.
She's like, what do you mean there's no alcohol? Hotch calls in and he's like, hey, I'm the hostage negotiator. Let's negotiate. And
like, oh, Ray is like, Hotch on the phone.
Ray's like, your guy shot Sid. I want to talk to him. And Hotch is like, I can't let you do that. And Ray's like, I want to talk to him. And Hotch is like, Morgan, phone's for you. Just hands it right over.
He does not take really much convincing.
And Morgan's like, okay, so we need to get her to a hospital or she's going to die. And Ray's like, we don't need a hospital. We need a car and two tickets to Aruba. Yeah. Like, where are you?
What are you going to do? What? Okay.
Sure. Okay. You're just going to bleed out on the plane. They're not going to let you get on a plane in this state. But also he would like some gauze and also some booze in the meantime while they're waiting for that. So Sid is in bad shape. She tells the girl that they're not going to hurt her. All things considered, she's being pretty nice to her.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah.
Ray keeps yelling at her and telling her to stop talking to her. And Sid's like, what grade are you in? She says fourth grade. And she's like, oh, I really liked fourth grade. Like, oh, it's sister bonding time. This is awful.
This is not a good way to do this.
Get this kid out of this gas station. Morgan brings in the supplies and Ray uses the girl as like a human shield with the
gun
to her back.
Can you imagine being this little girl in this?
She was just minding her own business. Going about her day.
Yeah, has no idea that this sister even exists.
Yeah.
And like the FBI agent is like right there and then he just backs up and leaves you with those
like,
two people.
He's like, all right, well, see you later.
Yeah, we're like, what?
Here's some whiskey, bye.
You're leaving me? No, no. Come back, sir.
Yeah. So Sid drinks some whiskey, Ray tends to her wound, and then they call Morgan back, who tells Ray, also, where are they getting the phone numbers? That's when they call the first time.
Yeah. Like,
where did you get their cell phone number?
Garcia
would find it, I guess. Yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
They had to have the cell phone number because that's how they knew. They tracked that he visited the AA website from his cell phone.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So then Morgan tells Ray that Sydney killed Amy by giving her heroin. And he's like, ask her about it. She'll answer with a question. She won't really answer.
And there's a whole bunch of profiling that happens to predict Sid's every move. And it's spot on.
And then Sydney's, he asks, Sydney's like, hey, you didn't kill Amy, did you? And Sydney's like,
what?
Why would I do that? I love you. And he's like, suspicious. And then Morgan is like, now she's going to use sexual distraction to make
you forget about this.
And he's like, what? No, she would never. And then Morgan's like, I'm telling you, Ray, sexual distraction. Like, that's exactly the line he says. I was like, oh, my God. And then Sid's like, you know what we should do? We should make love in front of everyone. And you're like, you're in a dark convenience store, no one can see you.
You mean in front of your 10-year-old sister?
In front of this little girl? Please don't do that. You know, it's sexual distraction. So Ray tells the kid to go over to the door, and then they start making out. And then Ray starts to choke her, which we saw earlier. She seems to really like it a lot.
Uh-huh.
But he actually chokes her to death in approximately 15 seconds. Yeah, and I know she's bleeding out from a gunshot wound.
She's very weak, but still. It was when it first started, I started to type, well, at least they're being pretty realistic about the choking, and then she was dead. And I was like, never mind. I couldn't even finish typing the sentence.
It was literally less than a minute.
Yeah. Yep.
I get it. You're not going to actively watch somebody choke someone for like 4 minutes.
Sure.
In a TV show.
But still.
But it's so fast.
It's so fast.
Ray realizes what he's done and starts freaking out. He begs her to wake up while this poor fucking kid is
Don't you
just
think this would have been
there.
A good time for her to just run from the gas station,
just
though?
Leave.
Like, he tells
just
her to go stand by the door. Just go unlock it and run.
It's just a little twisty
lock. She locked it for them originally. Yeah. Just unlock it and
run. I assure you, he wouldn't notice if you sneaked out right now.
He's got a lot going on right now.
Yeah. So finally, Ray does just send the girl out.
Yes.
And Hotch is like, Morgan, go get her. Yeah. And he like sprints over and tackles her out of the way just as Ray tries to escape by just driving through a garage door, yes, which is the second time in this season that we have seen someone drive through a garage door.
And you are correct.
Still don't believe that it works as well as they make it. There's just an absolute hailstorm of bullets.
Yep.
There are so many bullets going everywhere.
It's very Bonnie and Clyde. Like,
there is
they
no
just shoot
way
them up. Yeah.
That Ray is the only person who gets shot in this situation. Because literally everybody, it's like the fucking Wild West.
Yeah.
Then... abruptly, very abruptly, cuts to this asinine scene where Ray and Sid are in their wedding attire, all cleaned up, and they're reaching toward each other, and it's this like cartoonish background, and it's so bad. Mm-hmm. And then Sid gets sucked away.
Yeah,
that's the end of Ray. Mm-hmm. And then we get our end quote. William Glasser wrote, "What happened in the past that was painful has a great deal to do with what we are today." Just accurate to this episode.
But not even really, because apparently Ray was convinced he was molested when he hadn't been molested. So
yeah, unclear.
It's there are some questions still to
Sid
be
anyway.
Yeah,
it's true for her.
It's true for Sid.
It's probably going to have, I'm sure, what's happened in this little girl's past. It's going to have a great impact on where she's going in the future.
There's no coming back from this for that little girl. God,
her mom seems nice.
Yeah.
So
I'm
really
sure
hoping that
she
will get a lot of therapy and everything. I don't know.
I don't want to offend anyone, but if they're super religious, maybe not.
Yeah. I hope they're getting just not like, the pastor is going to pray for you now.
Right.
I'm really worried about this fictional girl.
It was a lot.
Yeah.
It was a lot for her.
So at the end, Prentice meets up with a Scottish dude. And you know what? He's not hot.
Nope.
Not even a little bit.
Nope.
He tells her that Ian Doyle has vanished from prison and that Interpol cannot find him anywhere. And Prentice is like, what does this mean? And he's like, he's off the grid. And we see that's over a voiceover of like a man approaching a car. He kills the driver and they're like speaking Russian and pulls away. The car
drives
away. Well,
you know, he's
away.
Russian definitely because of the hat he's wearing.
Yes. And then Prentice asks the man if he's in danger. And he says, they are. And that's the end of the episode.
And I'm like, great, now we have to deal with this Ian Doyle
bullshit.
I hate
the Ian Doyle storyline. I hate it so much. It's so dumb.
And that's that.
Yeah.
Well, we've got one of each for unsubs.
Oh, yeah.
One white man, one not. So we are 13-4 for season 6. It's 76.5% white men. Overall, we're 120-27, bringing us to 81.6. Which I believe rounds up to 82%, but there you have it. How would you rate this profile as far as accuracy, helpfulness, and plausibility on a scale of 1 to 10?
Honestly, I feel like this is pretty
good. Yeah, it wasn't bad.
It's one of the better ones.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're using facts that they know.
Mm-hmm.
They're using the patterns that they've seen in behavior so far to guide them mm-hmm. to where they should go look.
And even though I don't feel like finding the profile didn't help them find them, they used the profile to help attempt to apprehend them, because they didn't really apprehend them. They killed them both.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, you knew from the beginning that these are not people who are going to make it out of this situation alive.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
Like, doomed from the first time we yeah. see them.
So I guess, I don't know, I'd give it like a 5, middle of the road, not terrible, not outstanding.
Yeah.
Served its purpose, kind of.
Now that I Googled that, though, I absolutely don't believe that they caught up with them before they killed anyone.
Yeah.
Like, they would have shown up hours and hours and hours after they killed them. If they got a 12-hour head start and Spokane's only like 9 hours away, yeah. they would have been halfway to Aruba. Yeah.
So. Yeah. I don't think there's really any Hotch to watch here. He didn't do much except hand the phone to Morgan.
That is true.
And the next episode is Sense Memory. Emily's
gonna They're
be
going
to
be really,
really excited.
Back to Los Angeles to investigate murders throughout the city.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is it Billy Flynn again?
Yeah.
Just stay out of Los Angeles. Go somewhere new.
Yeah.
I don't think I remember this one, but I don't know. I checked out during a lot of the Ian Doyle
yeah.
episodes because I don't care about it at all. It is yeah. not interesting.
Prentice is too much backstory. I feel like that's a rare thing to say about a show like this, but there are too many things happening in her backstory. We had the...
You know how like Morgan has too many expertises?
Right.
That's not a word. I said it wrong. But like she has too many past.
Yes, she has too many past. It's too much. We already did the abortion thing and the priests and the Italy, and now we're doing Ian Doyle. I just... One, everybody gets one weird backstory thing. It's like Reed, yeah. Reed has too many too. Like Reed did the drugs and then he had the headaches and then he has yeah. the imaginary girlfriend and like it's just going to keep.
It's like, but it's like that with any show like this where you just have this like self-contained ensemble cast like this.
Yeah,
where
like run out like, of things to
like
do
It's like Grey's Anatomy.
Them.
Like yeah. everything has to happen to the same group of people.
Yeah.
And it's just after
and because
a while,
it's been on
you're
for
just,
15 years. You're like, just what like, else could happen to these people?
Okay.
Yeah. Like you survived a car accident, a plane crash, a mass shooting.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, everybody on this team has to have yeah. everything happen to them. Yeah. And it happens with every show.
It's a good point.
There's just too much and it's silly.
Too much past.
Yeah.
Well, wherever you're listening, be sure to leave a 5-star review. You can find us on Instagram at The Unsub Is a White Man and on TikTok under the same name. Our merch is on Redbubble. If you get any, make sure you tag us. We'll share you to our stories. Our theme music is composed and performed by Nate Youngblood. And the podcast is produced by Nate Youngblood. Thanks, Nate.
And until next week, we will be staying the hallway from gas stations.